If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
A little chilly today, then warming back up this weekend. So get out and stock up on your Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier. Less calories, less carbs. The Corona Premier, my favorite light beer out there. Grab it today. And, of course, the Corona Hard Seltzer, zero sugars, zero carbs. The Hard Seltzers, four great flavors. Get them wherever you buy your Coronas, like maybe Harry's Brewery inside the Hen House. That's where I get my Corona Premieres. You can check it out today, Corona Premieres and the Corona Hard Seltzers, and of course everybody knows about the Corona and the Corona Lights. Let's get things started today on your need to know, a little NFL news. This is when you know it's getting serious, when the companies start jumping off the ship. Nike suspending its endorsement with Deshaun Watson. Sources telling ESPN that Beats by Dre is ending its sponsorship of Deshaun Watson as well. Of course, amid sexual assault and inappropriate behavior allegations against the Texans quarterback, complainants, would that be the term, coming forward yesterday?
I think
yesterday.
So, complainant or something like that, yeah.
One of the women that's alleging that this happened, coming forward, put a face to the victims, and I don't think it's a shock that two major companies, Nike and Beats by Dre, are saying, that's it, we're out, at least suspending it as of right now, not ending it, but suspending their endorsement with Deshaun Watson right now. Some college basketball news. Arkansas picking up Miami transfer Chris Likes. He'll go to the Razorbacks. I'm going to tell you, look out. Like this, the Hogs are going to put pressure on Konzo Martin to get going.
Yep.
Because Musselman, he's one of those guys that, like, I think sleeps 2 hours and is constantly going. Like, I think he's recruiting or watching film or drawing up plays or – I think he's going to be really good there at Arkansas, and he's definitely willing to play the transfer game and play it well. Also, Sean Miller, long time coming, it would seem. A couple of years ago, he did a press conference where it seemed like he was all but resigning.
Yeah.
2 years later, it's finally over, unable to recruit at the level he was recruiting. We'll talk more about that with Gary Parrish, our college basketball insider, who's coming up in our next segment. We'll talk about what's actually going on, who's going to be next at Arizona, get his thoughts on that. Travis Goff, the new athletic director at Kansas, today having a press conference, being unveiled, if you will, at a press conference. Goff said he's still working on what the options are for the next Kansas football coach.
Coming in, the most important thing to me was do as much work as I could on the front end. Get organized, right? Have a plan. Have a few different plans. Understand the options. You can only do so much of that before you hit the ground. And it'd be insincere, and it would not be doing the right thing for the University of Kansas for me to have arrived yesterday with putting the head down, and this is our direction, and this is how we're moving forward, without the chance to spend time with Coach Jones, his staff, observe. And then listen, I've got to listen to the individuals who know a lot more than I do today about where Kansas football's at, the state of that roster, the mindset of the student athletes. And so that's, again, what I've kind of said. I want to dig deeper with you on that, Dennis. The second part is we do have a plan, and it's about when will I have enough information, when will I have had enough engagement, and what would be the right approach to launching that forward. So that's about as you can follow up with a question. That's about where we're at here on day two.
All right, let's keep going with the football talk. Goff asked why he's confident that he can find the right coach to rebuild the Kansas program.
I think we've – at the University of Kansas, learned a lot over the years. And building football programs is incredibly difficult. It's certainly difficult in the Big 12 Conference, one of the best in the country. And it's certainly difficult even more so without any kind of continuity. So I think those learnings that I have kind of witnessed from afar, the things that I've been able to see at the places I've been, and then what I know to be incredibly clearly the commitment from Chancellor Girard, from the leadership, from the staff and the group that's here to build this thing in the right way. That's all the confidence I need coming in, and that confidence is incredibly high.
And regardless of which direction you do decide to go, Are there any unique characteristics or qualifications that stand out to you in terms of something that you feel like would make a successful head coach at Kansas?
There certainly are assumptions around that, what things I've observed that I think are applicable anywhere, right? So there's what's applicable anywhere in terms of building a program, and then what's important and what I'm trying to really be focused on in these days ahead is what's going to be applicable here at the University of Kansas, and that's where I need to listen, absorb, before charting that path forward.
There are a lot of softballs early in this. There's a number of the students that were asking questions, which mm-hmm. is fine. It's a college. Yeah. It's a different press conference than Andy Reid. But they got to the football ones. I mentioned that. I said, hey, he needs a DeMarini bat to take some swings at the softballs that are coming his way. And some Kansas fans or somebody got upset that I was, can he just settle in? No, he can't. He's the athletic director now, and he can answer these questions. Because if you think the search committee and the people at Kansas didn't ask these questions, if he can't answer them now, he would have puked on his shoes when they asked him in the interview process. So
yep.
He's fine. He's a big boy. And when they got around to the football questions, he did just fine. One more from Travis Goff. Asked what he thought of Bill Self's lifetime contract.
Coach Self's never met a stranger, as many of you know. I had a chance when I was a young person early in my career to be here at KU when Drew Jennings made that exceptional hire for the University of Kansas. And so just being a young guy and observing and watching the athletics program and department with Coach Roy leaving and then bringing in Coach Self, it was really such a great learning. And I had a chance to get to know him. He treated me like I mattered, right? Which was really something that will always stick with me. So we have had a chance. We've had multiple phone calls. He's been so warm, engaging, open. We've established a great rapport right off the bat. And then I had a chance to spend some time with him yesterday as well.
Hey, Travis, Jesse Newell, Kansas City Star.
Jesse.
You talked about your relationship with Bill Self earlier. I just wondered your thoughts on his new contract extension.
I think it's awesome. I'm glad it was done on Friday. And I didn't need to be the guy doing that, not because I wouldn't have wanted to, but because it was such a clear demonstration from Chancellor Girard and the entire Kansas community that Bill's our head basketball coach and exactly who we need at the helm there.
When he first started into that answer, I was like, what am I, glad you didn't have to do it? Where's it? And then, meaning, listen, it's something he would have clearly done. It's just work he doesn't have to do. Yeah. Now he can focus in on, and I'll give Kansas credit. I mean, to me, and I think this may have been, done for a while, and they were just trying to find the right time to announce it. And it finally was like, listen, it's going in now before the AD gets in there. Whatever the reason, it was priority number one, in my opinion, was making sure that guy was signed, so it was a good move. And listen, Goff sounds like he gets it. He obviously understands the important. All you got to do is see, $750,000 for Goff, $5.4 million for Bill Self? Okay, that's it, right? That's all you need to know. You work with a head basketball coach like Bill Self. He doesn't work for you, and you may not work for him. If one of you works for one, you work for him. But you definitely work with him, and Goff clearly got that.
The program with Soren Petro.
Good guy to hang out with. He's a good guy to work with. He's got the characteristics of what you would hope that your best friend or a brother would have.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. 32 leagues, 350 teams, 7 nights a week. There is nothing quite like college basketball. And no one covers it any better than he does. He's our college basketball insider, Gary Parrish of CBS Sports, only on the program.
Welcome back. You're on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We put a bow on the college basketball season, although with the news coming out today, maybe not. Maybe there'll be more to talk about this year. We turn to our college basketball insider, Gary Parrish. He's brought to you by our friends at Henhouse. Go to henhouse.com right now to see all the specials. Get stocked up for the weekend. Everything you need if you're going to get out on the grill. Get back to the meat counter, award-winning meat counter, the certified Hereford beef. Only place you're going to find the finest beef in the world is right there at your neighborhood Henhouse. Go to henhouse.com today to see all the specials. Let's welcome Gary Parrish to the T-Mobile guest line. Gary, how are you, sir?
I'm great. You okay?
I'm doing very good. I know from listening to the Ion College Basketball podcast that some late hours have been burnt by you, and now we're maybe slowing down, but then today the news comes down that Sean Miller out at Arizona. I'm assuming the timing of this is such that this has been in the works for a while, right? That this is finding the right way to get off the merry-go-round has been maybe going on for as much as a year, or, you know, what do you make of this timing?
It has certainly picked up in recent days that this was probably headed this direction, so much so that on Monday I knew that I was going to be up after the title game, you know, because of television, because of the podcast, till about 5 a.m. And then I knew I had to be on CBS Sports HQ at like 8:30 a.m. And so that's obviously a tough turnaround. And I was talking to, let's just say, a source about this. And I said, you know, and then I've got to, you know, I've got to fly straight from Indy to Atlanta, Atlanta to Memphis, go straight from the airport to radio. Like, I'm going to get through it, but I'm dreading it at this point. Tuesday's going to be a hard day. And this person said, and just wait till you have to deal with Sean Miller getting fired at Arizona on the same day. So it didn't happen on Tuesday. It happened on Wednesday. But that's a story to indicate just how likely this development was. Again, in recent days, most people in basketball circles thought it was headed this direction.
He did a press conference, what, a year ago, 2 years ago maybe, where it looked like he was basically signing off, and then the end never came. What is it just the one loss record? Which certainly, to me, if you're going to stick it out with Sean Miller, right, there's a little bit of like firing Bill Self right now because he's a three seed, not his normal one seed. Well, it's the cloud hanging over the program that's going to be a problem. If you're going to go into that with the cloud hanging over it, you go into it with the idea that we're going to come out the other side with it, not we're going to have expectations on how well we're going to recruit and you know, put talent on the floor during this. That's what seems puzzling to me. Or is there a new development? Has new evidence come out in Arizona saying we got to get out from under this?
No, I think it's the former, rather. I'm with you. The timing's a little weird. And I want to be clear. I don't think Sean Miller should be the head coach at Arizona. There was too much cheating going on his watch. And even if the NCAA didn't tie him directly to it, you know, Christian Dawkins is on the record saying that he believes Sean Miller knew what was going on within his own program. And Book Richardson is literally on a wiretap discussing Sean Miller, you know, taking care of players and or their families. If you want to say that Christian Dawkins was lying and Book Richardson it was also lying, even though Book Richardson thought he was talking in confidence, fine. I guess I can't convince you otherwise, but I don't think either one of them were lying. I think they were both telling the truth. And so I have for a while thought Sean Miller should not be the coach of that program. But once you decide to stick by him, and then the notice of allegations comes, and it's actually kinder to Sean Miller than most people thought it would be, I assumed at that point they might just stand by him. Because, again, it's one thing if your head coach is alleged by the NCAA to have paid DeAndre Ayton or somebody connected to DeAndre Ayton or somebody else. But there's literally nothing like that in the notice of allegations. It does not allege that Sean Miller was personally involved in any cheating. It just alleges that a lot of it happened on his watch and he did not promote a culture of compliance. It's a serious level one violation, but relative to what most people thought it could be, it's not as serious. And so I assumed at that point they might just decide to stand by Sean, but the truth is recruiting has dropped off drastically for obvious reasons. And you can cut this one of two ways. Can he not recruit at the level he used to recruit because this NCAA cloud is hanging over the program? Or can he not recruit the way he used to recruit because the way he used to recruit was just, you know, cash deals, buying players. And if you can't do that anymore, well, then you were never a great recruiter to begin with. You were just a great purchaser. Either way, the end game's the same. Arizona's not getting the same type of prospects it used to get. Arizona's not winning at the same level it used to win. And so now Arizona will move in a different direction so that if it does have success again, they can not have it completely dismissed by the masses as a byproduct of your cheating coach, because that's the other side of this. You know, what is the fun of trying to rebuild your program under Sean Miller when nobody will ever accept it as legitimate? anything that Sean Miller was able to build in Tucson going forward was going to be met with the same response that anything Will Wade is able to build at LSU will be met with. Well, they were cheating. We know that. They must still be cheating in some form. At some point, you just want a fresh start, and so here we are.
Who's next at Arizona? Are there any names already that are out there, or is there any name that if you were in control that you would be certainly going after?
If I were betting at this moment, I would bet that the next coach at Arizona is Gonzaga assistant Tommy Lloyd. Now, Tommy is, you know, sort of the de facto coach in waiting at Gonzaga, so he has been very patient and passed on other opportunities. But what is the coach in waiting when nobody thinks the actual coach is going to retire anytime soon? Like, how great is that? You know, Mark Few is obviously operating at an extremely high level. He's only 58 years old. And when we got guys coaching into their 70s, there's no reason to think that Mark can't coach another decade. If you're Tommy Lloyd, do you really want to wait another decade to be a head coach? You're already 46 years old. Do you want to wait till you're 56? Especially when perhaps a big job like the Arizona job presents itself. And so there's been speculation in recent days that Arizona was doing this with Tommy Lloyd in mind. And I just do not believe Tommy would turn down this job for the same reasons that, you know, Mike Hopkins, who was the coach in waiting at Syracuse, didn't turn down the Washington job. Like, would Mike have rather have been the Syracuse coach than the Washington coach? Yes. But when you're waiting for an unknown period of time and your options are do that or take a great job like Washington, well, then Mike took Washington and nobody was surprised by it. I think this will be similar. If Tommy is offered the Arizona job, Tommy will be the next head coach at Arizona. That's the obvious outside the family place to go. Maybe see if Arkansas's Eric Musselman is interesting. But if they're going to keep it in the family, and there's some thought that they would consider that, you're talking about a Georgia Tech head coach, Josh Pastner, who is an Arizona alum, Pacific head coach, Damon Stoudemire, who is obviously an Arizona alum, Lakers assistant, Miles Simon, who is an Arizona alum. And I would also toss Luke Walton onto that list. I know he's currently an NBA head coach, and most NBA head coaches prefer to stay in the NBA, but there's some thought that he won't be an NBA head coach, but for a few more months. And if you already feel like you're about to get a pink slip, maybe now's the time to bounce out and go coach at your alma mater.
We're talking to Gary Parrish here in the program. Gary, let's stay on the coaching trail. I love it. It's my favorite time of year because I think it's such a impactful decisions that have to be made. Chris Beard at Texas. I mean, there's no way this can fail, is there? Or is there? Are the expectations at Texas more than maybe even Chris Beard can handle?
I'll be shocked if this doesn't go brilliantly, but I have been surprised before. You know, I think in college sports, you know, Nick Saban is a sure thing anywhere. Urban Meyer is a sure thing anywhere. Rick Pitino is a sure thing anywhere. John Calipari is a sure thing anywhere. And I might stop the list right there because those are four college coaches in football and men's basketball who have shown they can take multiple programs to the highest spot in the sport. Those four, that's my list of four that are absolutely sure things. The next level, whatever that level is, that's where I would put Chris Beard. I think he's a sure thing, but, you know, I thought Archie Miller was a sure thing at Indiana, and that obviously turned out to be wrong. So Archie has taught me to not speak in absolutes. I'll leave some wiggle room for the possibility of it not going brilliantly, but I would bet on it going brilliantly. He's obviously a terrific coach. Like, you know, top five, maybe. I couldn't get him out of the top 10. And when you talk to NBA people in recent years, you know, the scouts who would bounce into practices pre-pandemic, and you would just say, hey, like, when you're going around the country preseason or in season, you're sitting in on practices and you're watching somebody teach and develop, who blows you away? The answer I used to get more than any other was Tony Bennett. The answer in the past 2 years that I got more than any other was Chris Beard. And so he's a great coach and teacher and developer. He understands how to communicate with his players to get them to do what it is he wants them to do. He obviously knows Texas as well as anybody. So you don't have a guy who's in a part of the country he's unfamiliar with. And he has just loaded up his staff. You know, he's gotten two Division I head coaches to resign to join his staff at Texas, both of whom used to be assistant coaches at Texas, Rodney Terry and Chris Ogden. And so it appears that they have paid incredible amounts of money to get Beard and then allowed him to spend an incredible amount of money to build his staff. And so now I think, you know, I mean, he obviously took Jarence Howard away from KU as well. If you could argue Chris Beard is one of the top five coaches in the country with the best staff in the country at a school in a state he knows, you know, as well as anybody, that has unlimited resources and a new arena on the way. That, if there's ever been a recipe for success, that yeah, is probably it.
The only question I have about that is North Carolina. We had Travis Hancock from WFNZ on with us on our two-minute drill, and he pointed out a couple of weeks ago that Roy Williams kissed the court on the last home game, and everybody around the Carolina family felt that that was Roy's last game at the Dean Dome, and that he was going to be retiring. So I know it did not come as a shock to anybody around the North Carolina program. Now, I also know Roy wants things done his way, having covered him and had Roy bark at me a couple of times, although I have nothing but respect for the man because he came and sought me out and didn't go gripe to somebody else, and so I have great respect for Roy Williams. But I can see him doing something like, I'm not quitting until you say it's going to be Hubert Davis, if that's what he wanted to do. But if you're North Carolina, Chris Beard, to me, I said all along, is the one guy who, like you, I agree, looks like an absolute win no matter where he goes, and he's not already at a blue blood or a mega financial location like Texas. Like, if you're Carolina and you know Roy's going, you should be going for Chris Beard. Do I have it right on how it played out with Hubert Davis getting the job at North Carolina? And would Chris Beard have taken Carolina if he had the choice of Carolina and Texas?
I think most people would take Carolina over Texas.
Right.
I'm not sure Chris Beard would have taken Carolina over Texas. Okay. Keep in mind, he still has family there, children there in the state of Texas. So, like, that matters to him. And I think he's just more comfortable in the state of Texas. And, you know, you've got the same level of resources at Texas that you have at North Carolina. And though North Carolina is the school with more tradition and the Michael Jordan connection, there's more talent in Texas than there is in the North Carolina area. So I guess I'd put it this way. If you took a coach with zero ties to either region or school and said, what job do you want, North Carolina or Texas? 8 out of 10 would probably say North Carolina. Some might say Texas. But when you present that job, those options to Chris Beard, I think he probably does say Texas. So I'm with you. If I could hire Chris Beard at North Carolina, I would have hired Chris Beard at North Carolina. I would have gone outside of the family. That's how highly I think of him. But I don't know that they could hire him after the Texas job opened.
Okay.
Just like I think Indiana could have hired him. But the second the Texas job opened, it was over. Indiana was not – he was never going to pick Texas over Indiana. I had somebody who knows him well tell me before the Texas job opened that if Arizona wants him, he would probably do that. Probably, not definitely. But once the Texas job opened, it was game, set, match. And so they decide to go with Hubert. And I don't know if it went down as definitively as you just laid it out, because I do know that Bubba Cunningham, the athletic director at UNC, you know, he talked to other people, you know, Kenny Smith, Wes Miller. There were reports that he was poking around with some other bigger names outside of the family. But I will say, literally the minute Roy Williams' retirement was announced, you know, if you text three people who are supposed to know these types of things, the response you got back was, it'll be Hubert, barring a surprise. Because, A, even though they said it wasn't completely necessary to keep it in the family, that that they would prefer to keep it in the family. And, B, if it's going to be kept in the family, Roy had let it be known, I would prefer it to be Hubert. I don't know that Roy would have demanded it was Hubert, But Roy, let it be known, I would like my successor to be Hubert Davis, and I think that mattered. Like I guess this is the way I would put it. I don't know that Roy had to demand it as much as Roy had to suggest it, and it was going to get done. And then, you know, if you're trying to gauge Hubert against Wes Miller or Hubert against Kenny Smith, Hubert is the one that's got direct ties to the current players. He's more likely to keep them than any other candidate would. He's the guy who has been recruiting at that level for that campus in recent years. He's the best position to pick it up right where it's been, if you will. So we'll see if it works, but I was not surprised this is the direction it went.
Just yes or no, it will or won't work with Hubert Davis?
Yes, I think it will work. And let me be clear, I'm not sure that it's because Hubert Davis is the perfect coach for North Carolina. I just don't think you have to be the perfect coach at North Carolina. Okay. I think it is one of those jobs where if you're just competent, you'll be great. You just can't run it off the rails. You know, you just can't be a disaster. Like, North Carolina is a job that is set up to win. I've made this point several times over the past week. You know, when Steve Peichel took the Rutgers job, that's a job that's set up to lose. You have to really build it in a very specific way to even get respectable. That's a hard, hard job. The North Carolina job is exactly opposite. It's an easy job. Players want to go there. Your history speaks for itself. The Michael Jordan connection still registers. Like, I think there's only a handful of people who could do certain jobs in the country well. I think there's probably 30 people who could be the head coach at North Carolina and have an opportunity to win a national championship. That is not a job where you need to have the greatest coach in the country to be great. It's just a job where you got to have, you know, somebody who is competent, and you'll be really, really good.
Is Porter Moser at Oklahoma a good fit?
I can understand why somebody might suggest it's not. You know, that is not a part of the country where he's been successful. And what's interesting about Porter, and I'm happy for him. Let me be clear. He's a likable guy. I've spent time with him. I rooted for that Loyola Chicago team. I'm happy to see him get this opportunity. But he became a head coach for the first time in the 2000-2001 season and did not make an NCAA tournament as a head coach until 2018. That's a long time to – you know, he spent, let me count it for you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years as a head coach before he made the NCAA tournament. And then the first time he made it, he went to a Final Four, and then he went to a Sweet 16 this year. But, that's two NCAA tournaments in a career where he's been a head coach for the bulk of the past two decades. Like, the idea that he's had consistent success as a head coach forever just is not true. So are you hiring somebody who has developed over 20 years into a great coach? Or are you hiring somebody who had two really, really good teams over the past 4 years, but that's really all it is, two really good teams over the past 4 years? I think it's probably the former, but I can understand why somebody might suggest it's the latter. Either way, you know, once – Oklahoma job opens because Lon retires, like, who are they what are your options? What are your realistic options? You're probably gambling on somebody no matter what direction you go. And I mean, you could have gone Grant McCaslin or Paul Mills, you know, the coaches at North Texas and Oral Roberts. And I like both of those guys, and what they did this season was tremendous, but like, it's a gamble as well. They're no more or less proven than Porter Moser is. So it's a sensible hire, if only because, if you just look strictly at the past 4 years, very few have been more successful than Porter. But it's certainly not a lock to work. The thing about the Big 12 is that, you know, somebody's got to finish 8th, 9th, and 10th. And there's not a school in that conference that thinks it should be finishing 8th, 9th, or 10th. So it's a tough road. I'm not surprised that they ended up together. A, because Oklahoma, who else were you going to get? And B, Porter, I think it was time to go. Like, he was, I don't think this is the big job that he would have preferred, but it's the big job he could get. So when it's put on the table, you take it, and now both sides just hope for the best.
We talked a lot yesterday. We're talking to Gary Parrish. We talked a lot yesterday about Baylor and the win and what it meant for Baylor, what it meant for Gonzaga. I referenced the Eye on College Basketball podcast you and Matt Norlander do, which is great stuff, and you guys had a great breakdown of the game. I'm curious, moving forward now, kind of turning the page, which program moves forward in better shape? Not just next year. I know Gonzaga, and you had a great conversation about how you're not going to put Gonzaga number one because you don't want to deal with the folks taking shots about how can you pick this team. So I thought that was great. You've got UCLA number one in your top 25 and one, and Gonzaga number two. But here, moving forward the next 5 years, Baylor or Gonzaga, and who's going to win another championship who's more likely moving forward, Baylor or Gonzaga? How do you see these programs after the championship game?
I think Gonzaga is more likely to move forward and be better. And I say this with an incredible amount of respect for Scott Drew. Like, what he just accomplished at Baylor, amazing. One of the great all-time stories, and I couldn't be happier for Scott and his family. It's been awesome watching him build that thing and then actually seeing it pay off the way that it paid off. But here's the truth. Like, I know Gonzaga still hasn't won a national title. Like, I got it. You don't have to – I understand. They're going to win one. It's going to happen. And the reason it's going to happen is because Mark is going to, more consistently than Baylor, and perhaps more consistently than anybody else, build teams, have teams that are good enough to do it. Like, that's the trick. Very few times in history, or at least modern history, are national championships won just out of the blue by a coach and a program that hadn't been giving itself opportunities year after year after year. I mean, it does happen. Like, Kevin Ollie at UConn is a great example. That's just a one-off, got lucky, had a great guard. Nobody saw it coming, then it happened. More often, it's going to be a John Calipari. Why? Because he keeps building teams that are good enough to do it, and then eventually he just does it. Bill Self, why? Because he keeps building teams, having teams that are good enough to do it, and then eventually he's going to do it. You know, Mike Krzyzewski's got a team good enough to do it nearly every year, so he does it every once in a while. You know, Roy Williams consistently built teams that were good enough to do it, and then he did it three times. Jay Wright consistently built teams that were good enough to do it, and then he did it twice. Billy Donovan. You know, Billy Donovan had way more teams than just those two that were good enough to win national championships. He didn't get it done lots of times. He got it done those two times. That's the trick. The trick isn't, you know, who do you think is going to have this one great team in one certain season? Because as we've seen in a single elimination tournament, the best team doesn't always win it. Now, I still believe that Baylor was probably the best team in the country, given what we watched throughout this NCAA tournament. They were barely challenged. But most of the season, most people thought the Zags were the best team. They didn't win it. In 2015, Kentucky was the best team. They didn't win it. There are several times in modern history where the best team doesn't win it. But the trick is just keep giving yourself an opportunity, like a realistic opportunity. And Mark has done that basically every year for the past 5 or 6 years, and he's going to keep doing it. And eventually they will break through. You know, despite what we saw last night and the fact that the Zags have never won a national title, they are still the favorite right now in Las Vegas to win next season's national title. Like, if you continue to be one of the top 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams in the country year after year after year, it's going to happen for you eventually. You know, I can't remember the specifics, but somebody made note of it in recent days. Like, go look at how many times Mike Krzyzewski was in the Final Four before he won a national title. How many times Roy Williams was in the Final Four before he won a national title. It often doesn't happen the first time for these guys. It did for Scott Drew. That's incredible. But that's the exception more than the rule. And we should learn from our own mistakes. Like, there was a time when people asked, are we sure Bill Self can win the big game? And then he won the big game. Are we sure John Calipari can win the big game? And then he won the big game. Billy Donovan, we said the same thing. Jay Wright, we said the same thing. With Billy Donovan, in the 5 years before he won back-to-back NCAA tournaments, his Florida team was eliminated before the Sweet 16, five straight years. And people said, oh, Billy Donovan gets in the tournament every year, but he can't, you know, he can't advance, can't get to the second weekend, can't get to the Final Four, certainly can't win it all. and then bam, he wins it all. Bam, he wins it all again. That's the way these things go. We say people can't do it because they haven't done it, and then they ultimately do it. I think sometimes people confuse the words can't and hasn't. Just because somebody hasn't done something doesn't mean they can't do something. It simply means they haven't done it yet. And I would bet any amount of money, any amount of money, that if you told me Mark Few is going to coach at Gonzaga for the next 15 years, which is certainly possible given his age, Gonzaga is going to win a national championship and perhaps more than just one.
We're talking to Gary Parrish here in the program. The thing that I think is going to be interesting moving forward is, you know, do these teams, like we're seeing Gonzaga's got an even better recruiting class coming in next year, do they graduate into that one-and-done area, and the experience that these teams both possessed in this game, does that go away? Because I know Calipari's played for it again since winning the championship in 12 with kind of the dawn of the one-and-done dominated team. He hasn't won it yet again. Coach K hasn't won it yet in the one-and-done dominated recruiting that he's done of late. And it'll be interesting to see if Baylor doesn't graduate back up to that. Gonzaga seems to be getting there. Does that, you know, somehow slow them down? That's what I'll be watching. Let's get to our Final Four with Gary Parrish. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours to see you quickly. Request an appointment at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I will start you with this, Gary. The 22 champ will be, I know you've got UCLA number one. Is that who you're going to put as the champ in 22?
I guess if Johnny Juzang comes back and, like, everybody who was a part of that Final Four run returns, it would be contradictory for me to say somebody else publicly. But as you heard on the podcast, I understand Gonzaga is the favorite. And I had Gonzaga pegged to be the preseason number one until they got blown out in the national championship game. And I'm just like, I don't want to deal with the backlash that's going to come with this. Even if I believe it to be true, it's just like, what is the point? All I'm going to do is invite 100,000 people to say, I guess next year will be the year. This is what you told us last year. Parrish, what are you going to learn? I was like, I don't need all that. But how about this? UCLA or Gonzaga? I think that either one is capable, and obviously other teams are also going to be capable. But yeah, I mean, there's no, you know, UCLA didn't just make a run to the Final Four. They also finished 13th at KenPom. And when you finish 13th at KenPom and you've got an established star like Johnny Juzang and you bring back every experienced piece that was playing alongside with him, which is certainly possible at UCLA, then, yeah, I would take the Bruins to win the title.
All right. Have you it's been a rough spring for the Miller brothers. Have you ever been fired?
I have never been fired, but I've only had a handful of jobs. Like, my jobs are delivered pizzas through college. Right. Commercial appeal, CBS Sports. Those are the only three jobs I've ever had. I've never been fired, and I've never interviewed and not gotten the job. I've been pretty fortunate.
We're talking to the undefeated Gary Parrish here in the
yeah.
program.
Oh, and radio as well. But I've never been fired in that either. I'm one of the lucky ones. That's not lost on me, by the way. I don't take that for granted.
No, agreed. All right, who wins more tournament games moving forward? This point, they're at 0-0 right now. Bill Self or Chris Beard?
Chris Beard. And I only say that because it does seem likely, not definitely, but likely that Kansas is going to face a postseason ban, that Kansas is going to still deal with that NCAA cloud that impacts recruiting. Whereas Chris has a fresh start, Chris might just get a head start on him. How about that? And so I'll go that direction.
Okay. And does Scott Drew win another championship? Yes or no?
I'd say no. I wouldn't rule it out, but man, it's hard to do, and especially hard at a place like Baylor. Like, you know, Baylor's not going to start enrolling, three, five-star recruits based on this. It's still Baylor, and this team was built in such a unusual way with mid-major transfers and sub-75 prospects. This is not a team built in the traditional way. You know, they don't have a roster full of future, of former McDonald's All-Americans. And so I just think this was the perfect team that came together perfectly. But I always try to remind myself, this is how hard it is to win national titles in this sport. John Calipari still only has one. John Calipari has had a consistently very good, if not great, team basically for the past 15 years straight. He has one. Bill Self, same thing. He has one. It's very hard to get more than one. Only seven people, I believe, have ever gotten more than two. So just statistically speaking, based on history, you would bet against it.
Gary, you are the man. We appreciate it. What a great season of work. You know, we really appreciate all the time you gave us, and I'm sure we'll bother you a couple of times during the off season. But thanks for all the great insight, and, of course, we'll be reading your work at CBS and look forward to getting next season going here when we roll back around in the fall.
Man, it's always my pleasure. You're nice to have me on, and the people who listen there in Kansas City who, you know, tweet me are always so kind. So I really enjoy the 25 to 30 minutes we spend together during each season, and I look forward to continuing it. And whatever you need this offseason, I'm always here for you.
Well, you're the man. Gary Parrish, the best in the business. Thanks, Gary. Take care and enjoy some downtime.
All right, brother. I'll see you.
The program with Soren Petro.
I forgot the question. I do that a lot.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the Jazz into the hour answer. Gerrit Cole, one of two Yankees to have 21 strikeouts over their first two appearances of a season. Who was the other? It's a notable name, but not because of strikeouts. He gave up Hank Aaron's number 715, Al Downing, in 1964.
Ah, yes, Al Downing. Very nice. I like that one. Well played, Curtis. Well played, my friend. Tricky. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. What we were playing for, Gerrit Cole, 13 Ks.
Pretty
Yankees good. Actually getting what they paid for. Go to jazzkitchen.com to get your great Cajun food tonight. And don't forget, a little lineup change tonight. We've got Hawk Talk with Bill Self. Big Hawk Talk. Of course, Bill Self signing his lifetime contract. And, of course, the announcement today. We carried the press conference earlier today. In the zone, Travis Goff announced as the athletic director of Kansas. So coming up next, Bill Self on Hawk Talk. So it should be very good. Hawk Talk Crunch Time at 7 with one Frank Bowl. And Golf Underground, special golf show, Masters coverage, of course, wall-to-wall here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. In fact, after Golf Underground, we got the Best of 810 and then Masters tonight, courtesy of our friends at Westwood One. But at 8 o'clock, Golf Underground, hosted by Brian Sullivan, George Brett, and Kevin Ward. Their special guest, Darius Rucker. Darius Rucker. So not bad. Brian Sullivan, Kevin Ward, a Hall of Famer, George Brett, and Darius Rucker talking golf. At 8 o'clock. So Hawk Talk at 6, Crunch Time at 7, Golf Underground with George Brett and guest Darius Rucker coming up at 8. Big night tonight here on 810. We'll see you tomorrow at 2.